Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. On today's As It Is, we take you into the courtroom for two stories. In the second half of the show, we will tell about lawyers who help people who cannot afford legal representation.
But first, we hear about a large amount of money that a jury recently awarded to the widow of a cigarette smoker. Anna tells us more.
A jury in the southeastern U.S. state of Florida has ordered the country's second largest cigarette maker to pay $23.6 billion to the widow of a smoker. The jury also ordered the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company to pay $16.8 million in damages. Cynthia Robinson sued the tobacco company, R.J. Reynolds, in 2008 for the death of her late husband, Michael Johnson. Mr. Johnson was a longtime smoker who died of lung cancer at age 36. His widow claimed the tobacco company plotted to hide the health dangers of their products. She said the company kept secret the fact that it is very hard to quit smoking. This is called the addictive nature of tobacco products. Mr. Johnson had smoked for more than 20 years. He began when he was about 13 years old. His widow said he had tried several times to quit. The cigarette company plans to appeal the court decision. A lawyer for the cigarette maker said the size of the award went far beyond the realm of reasonableness and fairness. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You are listening to As It Is. We just heard a story about a U.S. jury in the southeastern state of Florida ordering the country's second largest cigarette maker to pay $23.6 billion to the widow of a smoker.
That is a huge amount of money.
While many Americans believe lawyers make a lot of money, in our next story, Anna tells about some lawyers in the U.S. who work for free.
Legal advice can cost a lot. A person with little money does not have the same ability to get legal help as a richer person. But in recent years, a growing number of law firms do pro bono work. They work for free. Lawyers who offer free legal help for their clients, the people they represent, are usually called pro bono lawyers. VOA Los Angeles correspondent Elizabeth Lee wrote the following report. Identified only as Linda, a 65-year-old woman has been fighting for a year to gain guardianship of a child relative, her grandnephew, Michael. But all her efforts failed. They were to no avail. Nothing worked.
Because of the abuse that was occurring and the neglect. And I tried many times to get guardianship through the courts and to no avail.
Then Linda found an organization called Bet Sedic. Betsedik provides free legal help to those who cannot pay a lawyer. The staff connected Linda with pro bono lawyers from a large legal group who accepted her case. After a year of fighting, Linda finally won guardianship of Michael. She says the shock of finally having Michael legally in her home left her numb, feeling almost senseless. David Lash is a lawyer with the law firm O'Melveny and Myers. He says a growing number of lawyers offer free help for needy clients. And he adds that many of them are from prestigious, highly respected law firms.
The last 10 years has seen a substantial growth in pro bono participation among lawyers.
The firm O'Melveny and Myers handles anything from corporate law, company and business law, to intellectual property law. It also operates a strong pro bono program worldwide.
The notion is burgeoning and growing. We're doing a lot of work, a lot of pro bono work through our office in London and in Brussels, and lawyers in our Hong Kong and Singapore and Beijing offices are getting more and more involved in pro bono pursuits.
Hi, it's David. It's David Lash.
Mr. Lash spends his workday talking to the community and organizations that offer free legal help to the needy. He also reviews and considers pro bono cases for his firm. On this day, he starts by meeting with Betsedik's pro bono director, Diego Cartagena. The subject? How to offer free legal help to the children coming to the United States from Central America.
We anticipate that there will be hundreds of cases involving these children coming through the next few months.
After this meeting, Mr. Lash gets on a group call, a conference call, with lawyers and activists in another state to advise about legal issues with immigrants. Then he is off to speak to a new student lawyer about pro bono work. But why work for free? Mr. Lash says there are many reasons law firms offer free legal help, and some of those reasons come from self-interest.
In order to really maintain a competitive edge, major law firms really need to have vibrant pro bono programs. They're invaluable ways to train young lawyers. They're great recruiting tools when we're all interviewing at the top law schools.
But Mr. Lash also says making justice available to people is what democracy is all about.
It's a magnificent feeling to use your skills and your profession to touch somebody's life in a really profound way.
Linda says that the law firm treated her and her family with respect. She says that even though she was not a paying client, the lawyers did not treat her as if she were a handout or a charity case.
They made us feel special. They didn't make us feel like we were basically a handout.
Instead, Linda feels thanks and gratitude that goes beyond words. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Remember to visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com.
And join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Thank you.
the VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. A person's name is very important. Some names also have special meanings in popular American expressions. To better understand what I mean, sit back and listen. You might even want to get a cup of joe. I mean, a cup of coffee. One day, an average Joe was walking down the street. An average Joe is a common person, either male or female. This average Joe was lost. He did not know jack about where he was going. By this, I mean he did not know anything about where to find things in the city. So, Average Joe asked John Q. Public for directions to the nearest bank. John Q. Public is also a common person, male or female. "Geez, Louise," said John Q. Public. This is an expression of surprise. "Geez, Louise, don't you know that all banks are closed today? It is Saturday." "For Pete's sake," said Average Joe. This is also an expression used to show a feeling like surprise or disappointment. "For Pete's sake, I do not believe you," said Average Joe. He was being a doubting Thomas, someone who does not believe anything he is told. At that moment, Joe Blow was walking down the street with a woman. Joe Blow is also an expression for a common man. Now, this Joe Blow was not walking next to a plain Jane. A plain Jane is a woman who is neither ugly nor pretty. She is simply plain. No, the woman with Joe Blow was a real Sheila, a beautiful woman. Average Joe asked the woman if all banks were closed on Saturday. "No way, Jose," she answered. This is a way of saying no. "No way, Jose. Many banks are open on Saturdays." Average Joe did not know either of these two people from Adam. That is, he did not know them at all, but he followed their directions to the nearest bank. When he arrived, he walked to the desk of the chief bank employee. Now, this man was a true jack of all trades. He knew how to do everything. "I am here to withdraw some money so I can pay my taxes to Uncle Sam," said Average Joe. Uncle Sam represents the United States government. The banker produced some papers and told Average Joe to sign his John Hancock at the bottom. A John Hancock is a person's signed name, a signature. Historically, John Hancock was one of the signers of the United States Declaration of Independence. Hancock had a beautiful signature and signed his name larger than all the others. As Average Joe left the bank, he began to sing. But sadly, Average Joe was not a good singer. He was a Johnny One Note. He could only sing one note. This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Jill Moss. I'm Faith Lapidus.
I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein with People in America in VOA Special English. Today, we tell about James Brown, the musician called the Godfather of Soul.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow! I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
That was James Brown singing his famous hit song from 1965, I Got You, I Feel Good. With this song, Brown went from a rhythm and blues singer to a pop music star. It helped him gain a huge number of white fans as well as black ones. He became a famous and wealthy singer, songwriter, and performer. But this huge success was very different from the poverty of his early life.
James Brown was born in 1933 in a one-room house near Barnwell, South Carolina. His father, Joe Brown, had a job removing fluids from pine trees in the surrounding woods. He sold the sap for making turpentine. The boy's mother left the family when he was 7 years old. James and his father moved to Augusta, Georgia. Young James had musical abilities. He learned to play the guitar, piano, and drums. He did this while picking crops in the fields and shining people's shoes to earn money to survive.
James loved the African-American church music called gospel. He loved it when the church's religious leader would sing this music and drop to his knees with emotional shouts and screams. Brown later used this kind of emotional singing in his own performances. He also liked the sound of the jazz and rhythm and blues performer Louis Jordan. Jordan had recorded a song called Caledonia and other popular songs in the late 1940s and 1950s.
By the time he was 13, James Brown had formed his own music group. He later joined a group called The Flames. The band played at drinking places, restaurants, colleges, and other places in the South. These young performers copied the sounds of successful rhythm and blues groups. They also included in their shows a song co-written by James Brown. It was called Please, Please, Please.
Please, 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 please.
This was the song that launched James Brown's career. He was able to stop doing low-paying jobs. He said the success of the song
gave him the chance to have some of the things he could not have dreamed of. Please, Please, Please was recorded in 1956. It sold more than 1 million copies. It made James Brown famous in the United States. And it became part of his electrifying stage performances. Brown would be on stage with an 18-piece band and a group of dancers. His emotional singing included unusual sounds and screams. He danced around the stage, performing movements that had not been seen before. He created his own musical and performing style.
That was another James Brown hit song, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, from 1965. Brown said that song was one of the most important things he ever did in the way of changing music rhythms. With that song, Brown created the music he called funk. This later came to be called soul music. And James Brown became known as the godfather of soul. He followed this hit a few months later with I Got You, I Feel Good, an even bigger hit.
James Brown also became known as the hardest working man in show business. During the 1960s, he performed his exciting show almost nonstop in city after city in the United States and in other countries. At the same time, Brown worked for civil rights for African Americans. He supported black business ownership as the most important way to what he called real black power. He urged black people to be proud of themselves, and he urged young people to continue their education and not drop out of school. His message was positive instead of angry. He recorded this song in 1968. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud.
Over the years, James Brown had problems in business, with taxes, and in his personal life. During the 1970s, his popularity decreased as disco music became popular. But he made a comeback in the early 1980s with Living in America, his first hit in years.
In 1986, James Brown was one of the first performers invited into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He became one of the most successful recording artists in history. With the exception of Elvis Presley, no pop artist had more hit records. He had 94 songs in the top 100 songs, and he had more top 20 single records than any other recording artist up to that time. But in 1988, he committed some crimes. He spent 2.5 years in prison. He was pardoned of his crimes in 2003.
James Brown received a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1992. He later talked about what he had tried to do to help young people. He said he tried to teach through his music. He thought it was very important to make young people proud of themselves and willing to work for what they wanted. He said life is sometimes really hard, but you can make it a lot better if you try to prepare for it.
James Brown saw himself as an example of the American dream. That means that a person can rise from poverty to wealth and success if he or she works hard. Brown influenced the music of his time and many performers who came after him. He showed his personality and energy in his famous shout.
If you are American, or you just human being and got any blood going through your veins, ow, I feel good.
James Brown performed until the very end of his life and continued to help his community. 3 days before his death, he joined volunteers at his yearly event to give toys to needy children in Augusta, Georgia. He had planned to perform on New Year's Eve at B.B. King's Blues Club in New York City. James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, died December 25th, 2006, in Atlanta, Georgia. He was 73. During his 50-year career, he made many music fans feel good.
Wow! I feel good! I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Wow!
This program was written by Shelley Gollist. It was produced by Lawan Davis. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein. You can read scripts and download audio at our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.
I know that I can't do no wrong. And when I hold you in my arms, my love. Sugar and spice.